Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hello there, Mr. Grant.
Hello, how are you?
Really good. Hey, good. You want to talk to us this week about not necessarily your most common questions, but kind of the industry's most common questions about estate planning.
Right.
And there's quite a few. Is this a specific website that you went to get this?
Or? No, I've been listening to financial advisors that I have relationships with. And so these are some of the more common questions that financial advisors actually get. So These are not things that I've heard, although I've heard a majority of these as well as people walk into the office. So it doesn't matter whether you're talking to an attorney or whether you're talking to your financial advisors. The whole thing is that there are questions about estate planning. Mm-hmm. And so we want to take just a little bit of time, and we're just going to go in random order. I have not aligned these in any specific order so that they flow, and we're just going to go.
One question I have, and I've heard you say a lot, and I don't see it in this list here.
Then tell me.
But that's the question of, or the fact that most people do not have an estate plan to begin with. I mean,
right.
At least 50% of the population, maybe even more.
Yeah, that's right. And it's in the mid 40 percentile that people have estate plans. And that's for individuals who are 65 or younger. Now, when you hit the age of 65, there's a couple things that happen at that age. Number one is that it was a very common time in the past of when people would retire. Mm. Now, we see people who are actually working more than the age of 65. So really that key component is when people retire, they have a mind shift that says, okay, I guess it's time that I finally grow up and get this one thing done.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the reality is that we're just aging. And so when we get into our 60s, maybe it's really time to start thinking about our mortality and what does it mean, because we've actually accumulated something, and how do we start passing those things off. So unfortunately, you are absolutely correct that more than 50% of Americans do not have an estate plan at all.
A will or anything.
Nothing.
Uh-huh.
And so even very critical documents such as end-of-life documents. So in other words, if I'm stuck on life support, what are the decisions that I want with my body instead of leaving it into the hands of the people who are around my bedside, who are going to be emotional and having difficult times? Less than 30% of Americans have that document.
Mm.
And so, yes, there is a gap in the thought process that I'm supposed to have any type of estate planning, and that is very obvious because, as you have mentioned, most people simply have never done the actual work. Mm. So they hear about it, they talk about it, they think about it, but then they never put action in those places.
Okay, well, let's look into some of the reasons why that might be. Like question number one, I don't want to think about death.
Yeah, I mean, who does? Even as Christians, we know our final destination, correct? We know that if we have given our lives to Jesus Christ, we have accepted His mercy and grace, that our salvation is secure. We know where we're going, and yet we still don't like to talk about this issue of, well, I'm going to die someday.
Hmm.
So unfortunately, that kind of goes exactly to what you were talking about earlier, which is most people don't do it. Well, I think this is one of the reasons why people don't is, and actually statistically, that 8% of people who have not done an estate plan have not done one because of this very issue, which is don't like talking about me dying, and I don't like to talk about me being incapacitated.
Mm.
I get it. Now, what's very interesting is that that goes from 8% to 12% when someone has a very good size estate. So the more wealth that you have, the more you don't want to talk about your mortality.
Interesting.
Yes. And so it goes from 8% to 12%. So that means, let's just say 10% of people don't want to talk about putting an estate plan together, regardless of how much money you have, because you don't like the topic. And I get it. But that is not going to stop the inevitable, which is that we are in frail frames that were never intended to actually last forever. And so, therefore, we need to have this conversation. We need to step up to the plate, and it is in your best interest because we need financial power of attorney. We need a medical power of attorney. We need an end-of-life document and HIPAA document so we can get medical access. All of those documents are intended to protect you as an individual during your lifetime should you have a medical emergency, let alone protecting your family should you pass away so that your voice is known and you can and that they can respond exactly as you wanted them to respond, both in divvying up property. That's the easy part. But how about burial issues, cremation issues, service issues, and everything else that surrounds the issue of passing away? It is so much better for your family if you will give them your voice at such a critical time. And so... yes, this is always a call to action on my show, which is let's get this done. We're getting close to a new year. Maybe this is a new year resolution. Don't do that because we always skip out on those. let's just get this done. Let's make it work. Let's make it happen that you actually put motion where your thought process has been.
Okay, another common estate planning question is, I figured it out with my parents, so can't my kids just figure it out with my estate?
Yeah, right. And the answer is no. So, number one, your kids are not you. And you have learned that through parenting, even though they are raised by you, even though they look like you, they may have mannerisms like you, they are not you. And there is a very, very large generational gap in how people think about these issues, how they think about wealth transfer, how they think about wealth reception. And so just because you had the skill set doesn't mean that one of your kids has the skill set. And oh, by the way, if you don't do your estate plan, then you can't name the child who actually does have the skill set. Mm. So it just doesn't automatically default to whoever's going to take the reins. There's an entire court process and language and statute of who can apply. So if you have someone who you believe has the skill set to actually do this, then you really need to do estate planning. That's what estate planning is supposed to do, is give us your voice of who you want in charge and where things go. Those are the two major big deals. Unless you have minor children, then that would be the biggest deal. But we need your voice to name the person that you think this person could do it. Now, here's the other problem with the thought process of, well, I figured it out, so the kids will figure it out, and it's really, I really didn't have a hard time doing it. Well, has anything changed over the course of your lifetime or since you've lost your parents? Do you think that the laws have become more stringent, or do you think that they become more relaxed in this area so that give people more freedom? Do you think that the taxes are the same? Do you think tax law has become more entrapping, or do you think that it's not a big deal? The IRS really doesn't care. Washington State now, since 2005, has an estate tax. So now your parents passed away in Washington or maybe another state that doesn't have an estate tax, but now you die in Washington where there is one. So the entire discussion around that is that just because your parents' estate plan was not quote-unquote complicated, it doesn't mean that yours is not. We have different assets than what, well, they'd be my grandparents, of what the previous generation had. And so even how to transfer homes it's more complicated now than it used to be. So it really begs the question of, I'm comparing what I did to an older system. So therefore, because my experience was blank, my kids' experience will be blank. And that is that's a fallacy. That is a wrong assumption, and it actually is an entrapping assumption.
Another question I have on that subject is, when people, you know, I did it with my parents just fine, different generations kind of viewed money differently too. You've said that currently people, when they inherit money, it's like the lotto, and they're they spend it all within a year or two. Has that always been the case, or is it more so now? Or
no, I think it's
people were more frugal back then. Maybe they
very
valued
much.
It in
because the people who are passing away now were raised by individuals that went through the Great Depression.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, when my grandparents were younger through the Great Depression, and that mentality then raised my parents.
Yeah.
My parents have the mentality of, well, man, mom and dad, or maybe I was on the cusp of actually experiencing financial difficulties compared to where my generation actually has known excess.
Mm-hmm.
And so does that change the scope of how we view estate planning? And the answer is yes, very much so. And so I agree with you, Mark. There are different mentalities generationally. So how you accomplished the closing of an estate was based upon how the information you were given and the process involved at that time, which has changed. So it's not the same now.
Not the same now. Okay, another common question in estate planning is, I'll be dead, why should I care?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, if you go to my website, legacyandfaith.com, and look at some of the titles of previous podcasts, you will find things about legacy. You will find things about biblical legacy. And so I want to look at this issue from a biblical perspective of, I'm dead, who cares? Well, you know what? God cares. So this is my opinion through seeking what I see in the Word of God, okay? Which is, God is about legacy and generational thought. And so therefore, we have been given stewardship, which is not to save, which is not to hoard, which is not to protect. It actually means an administrative distributor. And so therefore, we are to administrate and distribute what God has given us. We are not to hoard it. So we should care that what He has entrusted us with has the right administrator next. So many children do not hold the same values. Well, then why are you turning over what God has placed under your management into hands of those who will not manage it with the same heart and with the same passion? Just because we have passed away, I do not believe our stewardship has ended. And as a matter of fact, it was given to me first to set up the long-term vision of what is placed in my hands so that I can train up my children. And if I miss that goal, then I can leave a strong instruction instrument to accomplish that next task. So I'm dead, but I care today with the vision that God has given me to ensure that it's passed to the next generation with integrity and with righteousness and with vision for His kingdom. So we do care.
Okay. Well, some of the most common estate planning questions this week on the Legacy and Faith Show. People maybe have some questions for you, Paul, maybe how they can start an estate plan, how they get in touch with you.
Yeah, we just mentioned it, which is head over to the website, legacyandfaith.com. As mentioned, there are past podcasts. There's a lot of different opportunities, both from scriptural point of view, from practical point of view about estate planning. There's upcoming educational workshops that are on the website. Head over there, sign up for the ones that are coming up very soon. There's always to also hit contact us. I'd love to hear your feedback. I want to know your questions so that we can get to them. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or If you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant this week, looking at the most common estate planning questions. And Paul, I would assume this is probably a very common question, because a lot of people feel like, well, I don't need an estate plan because I don't have much of an estate.
Exactly.
I'm not wealthy.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was in a checkout line at who knows what shopping I was doing. But I was in a checkout line, and it was a longer line. So the person in front of me turned around. We started chatting. He goes, oh, what do you do? And I said, well, I do estate planning. And he goes, oh, well, you know what? I would use your services if I had anything.
Right.
Well, there it is. So this has been my experience, is that the thought process is you have to have a certain amount of wealth. And that is not true. Anyone over the age of 18 should be doing estate planning.
Hmm.
And that is because when you become an adult, then we need a legal process supported by documents that give power and authority to another individual to ensure our safety. So my girls are now 23 and 24, and I'm very blessed. I have a very good communication with my girls, and they and I still drive them to their doctor's appointments. But if my girls were ever in a situation to where it was an emergency and I had to walk in and I said, I'm their father. If there's ever a time when I said, no, don't do that medical process, because that's not what my girls would want, the doctors would be required to stop and say, then show me that you have authority to direct me away from what I believe is best medical practice for my patient. And that's I think that's the trap. The trap is that, well, when I was in the hospital and someone else was my voice, the doctors listened to him. No, not really. The doctors were giving their opinion, and everyone might have agreed with it, but as soon as there is confrontation with the doctor, because there's attorneys that the doctors have in the background, because they have to be concerned nowadays with malpractice suits and everything else, that they are going to have to withdraw and say, then I need to see that you have that legal authority. So anyone from the age of 18 and above, it is in your best interest. It has nothing to do with you dying and actually passing a bank account or a retirement fund or a house or anything else. Yes, that is a part of estate planning, but one of the biggest missing components is who is going to take care of me. And by the way, when you're married, the ring does not scream as loud as it used to. And what I mean by that is that, you know, when my parents were younger and something was going on, a spouse could go in and just raise a ruckus and, you know, that's my spouse. And people would move. No, again, we're in the same situation, which is show me the legal authority that I have to respond to you. And by the way, if you don't have that legal authority, then we're off to court to get a judge's order that puts you in place. And how expensive do you think that is compared to taking the initial step and making sure that we have these documents? So estate planning is not just about dying. It's ensuring your personal safety, and that is the paramount objective for you.
What kind of dovetails off that question, then a real common question would be, what happens if I die without a will?
Yeah, then we're looking at a couple different things. And of course, that question is multiple shows, which we've actually done in the past. So again, head over to legacyandfaith.com for past podcasts. They're all titled. So look for things about probate and those and wills. But really, what happens to a asset is determined by how it's titled. And so if you have a joint owner, so many married couples own a bank account in their joint names, well, the joint owner wins. And so therefore, the spouse would take over that account. Or if you've brought your child on an account, which please don't do, get estate planning done. Don't bring your kids onto your accounts in your name.
Now, why is that?
I know it sounds like that's a good plan, but legally that becomes the sole property of that child because they're a joint owner.
Mm.
And so therefore, there could be gift tax issues. There can be, there's a lack of integrity. Yes, I know you brought them on, but sometimes money gets tempting by people, even when they have best intentions. And so, there's no integrity system and there's no recourse for any other beneficiary just because we think and we hope that that person's going to do the right thing. Good estate plan takes care of that issue. And so number one, if you die without a will, then we go, we look at the asset itself. If there's nothing, if there's no joint owner, if there's no beneficiary designation, then we default to Washington law and Washington law takes over. So it's not that Washington gets everything. It's that Washington law takes over and we've lost the opportunity for you to design according to your own family and according to their own needs, what needs to take place. And so so be careful that all of your assets blend with your plan. So if you have a beneficiary designation that does not blend with your will or with your trust, then the system is broken. You haven't aligned everything. Hmm. And that's really a big deal, is that your assets must align with your estate plan.
Okay, what about the real common question, hiring an estate planning professional is expensive. Can I just do it myself?
I know. I'm very expensive. That it really does stink. And yes, you can do it online. Good luck with that.
Okay.
And so,
because we see those advertised a lot, legal, well, I won't say, but there's different websites.
Oh, yeah, it's LegalZoom. You know. It's other. Yeah. I don't know. There's plenty of them out there.
Isn't something like that better than nothing?
Okay. And so you might be able to convince me of that. But again, it depends on the circumstance. And so again, you're using a template model, instead of getting solid advice with experience behind it that says, is this the right question? So that we can ask multiple questions so that the proper answer and the proper design can be made. I had a client that, it was a client, it was the settlement. So it's after he passed away. One of his only major assets was an IRA. And so he left his only son as a beneficiary of the IRA. Well, that sounds really simple, does it not? Mm. Except that the son had always had addiction problems. Mm. Always. So now when the client passes away, not only is son having addiction problems, but he's in jail. So let me tell you, did that plan work in the best interest of his son? And do you think that that was a quote unquote easy way to do estate planning? See, the fallacy is that I'm just going to do this. He gets no advice. And so therefore we can't accommodate the family dynamics and what really needs to go on. And don't fool yourself. There are family dynamics in all of us. So,
okay. And one more question we have time for. Maybe you can quickly tell us, what documents do I really need?
Yeah, great question. So we all need a will or a trust. Those are the disposition documents. So when I die, one of those two documents is going to take over and it's going to direct who is going to close my estate. In other words, who's the administrator? And then what happens with what I have? So in a will, we're going to get it to direct people. Okay. It's very much like a beneficiary designation. In a trust, we have opportunities to protect people. We have opportunity to hold finances for the long term and to fulfill God's vision, whatever that is and whatever it means to you. Also, we would need to use a trust for minor children. So if you have minors, we need to use an instrument that can hold and protect and preserve. So that's the first document that everyone needs, a will or a trust. Number two is everyone needs a financial power of attorney. That's if I get into the car accident or I'm aging, I have a health emergency. Who has access to my bank account? Who can pay my bills? Who can talk to my financial advisor and make sure it's invested? Who can actually cash out my IRA so that I can get more money in the healthcare emergency? So that's the we need a document to manage our finances, the financial power of attorney. We need a healthcare power of attorney. And we mentioned that earlier, which is we're in the hospital. I can't either speak on my behalf, or I can't appreciate the nature of the decision that needs to be made. We need a different voice. We need an end of life document, which is I'm on life support. What do I want to have happen? And there's multiple other documents, such as community property agreements, HIPAA agreements. There's letters to healthcare. So there's multiple other documents, but those support those main four. So the main four are a will or a trust, a financial power of attorney, a healthcare power of attorney, and an end-of-life document.
Okay, well, lots of great questions here. The most common estate planning questions that people in Paul's industry hear. And if you have questions after this show, you'd like to ask a few more of Paul, find out about his services, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, ways to communicate with us. So there's an email link option, and also upcoming educational workshops where we can talk more about this journey of estate planning. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Always great stuff here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.